Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We've been in a series the last 3 weeks on developing authentic community. And contrary to popular belief, this session is not called Stump the Pastor. But how many have had a chance to go back and listen to, or let me just put it this way, how many have made a chance to go back and listen to any of the last 3 weeks on the website? Does everybody know we have a website? We're actually getting ready to do a new one here too, so it'll be a revamped, new look. So I would encourage you, if you haven't, just to go back and re-listen to those things, because the Lord's trying to get things into us. They have to become us before they can become the culture. So I'm just so appreciative of being able to be a part of what the Lord's wanted to do and where He's wanting to take us. And frankly, folks, outside this city, there's a lot of folks. God's doing the same thing with a lot of folks. It's been so interesting to see how God has been working in the body of Christ over the last 20 years, moving us along to get us to a certain place. So the things that we're talking about, you may think, well, it's isolated, but it's really not. The Spirit of God is speaking to the same things to people all over the world, because He's all trying to get us to the same place. So let's do this. Let me just pass this thing around. If you got a question, you can. How you turn this thing on? That way, everybody can hear your question. And quite honestly, let's just do this. I mean, there's no dumb questions, because somebody might have the same question you've got, except for they don't want to ask it, and you will. So, who's got the question? Who wants to prime the pump?
Questions last
week. Okay.
I was listening to your sermon from the 17th because I wasn't here, and you were talking about spending time with the Father and as a community together, like Acts did, how they spent all that time together in unity. And I will admit that time seems to be against me sometimes. I have so much in the hopper.
Yeah.
But then I realized this last few weeks with my mom in the hospital, I made time every day to get up there and see her and do whatever had to be done. So it was important enough to make the time. So I feel like we need to put that same intention with this body. If it's important enough, we need to be there. And I say that more for me than anybody else, is that, it's easy to say, I just can't. I got to stay home tonight. I'm so tired. But the reality is that building community is really important. And when they're in the body, we make the time to do it, like with my mom.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'll just add to that. God's laid it in our hearts, a lot of things that is this church. And He's laid a lot of things, given us pictures and images of things, of where He wants to take us. And, a lot of times when you are in the same environment continually, how many know that it's easy for you just to settle in? The children of Israel, they went around so many times, it would be easy for them just to settle in. In fact, they did. And God finally said, okay, you've gone around the thing enough. Let's go in. And I would just challenge you in this, that many things that are in our future will not come to pass unless we are willing to get together and pray out what God gives us as a corporate body. Because Best Life Church is not Pastor Dan. Best Life Church is not Pastor Shelby. Best Life Church is you guys. And so there are things that are that will only come to pass and will only get a hold of as a vision for as a corporate body because we spent time praying these things out. Somebody's life out there depends on it. And I'm not trying to say that to put a hook in it, but you know, it's easy for us. You know, I came through the 80s, and I love the Word, and I love faith, but you know, I'll be quite honest with you, a lot of that stuff is all about me. Not that it's wrong, but it's only wrong because we settle in. We like to camp. Maybe it's just human nature, but we just like to camp. But the fact is, there are experiences with Him that He wants to experience that you'll never experience in your house by yourself, all alone by yourself. You'll never experience the magnitude of His presence that He wants to come. And you know, you've heard all these stories of days gone by where people gathered together in one place and they were praying and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon them and the presence of the Lord was so thick that, you know, I don't know about you, but doesn't it get kind of old reading about it? Is that really the best we can do? The only reason it happened to them is because they were willing to get out of their house, get together, join together, and become one corporate body and pray and minister to the Lord as a group. So I would just encourage you that, you know, and we haven't set any official, you know, prayer meeting. I know the prayer room is open before service, and that doesn't always work out for everybody. Because people got things to do, but I would encourage you to talk to each other. When was the last time, did any of you guys call each other this week? If we're going to be a body, we ought to be talking to each other. And you know, I don't care. I'm not afraid of, you know, two people get a God idea and say, you know what, let's have a prayer meeting. I don't really care. You know, if it goes squirrely, then you guys got to clean up the mess. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, at least, you know, let's get some God ideas going. You know, and it's going to carry on out there. Because whatever He does here, you'll become branded by it, and it will. You know, one thing that was said about the apostles. You remember that story of the lame dude, and he was born lame. We talked about it, and they had, you know, it got him a one-way ticket to stand before the religious community. And the religious community, as Peter was talking, the religious community, you know, the Sadducees. It says in the Passion Translation that they realized by sitting here and listening to him speak, they realized and they could tell that he'd been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be the target goal for us? So I would encourage you guys, I mean, I know we have a phone directory now. Make it a habit. Talk to each other. Get some God ideas going. You know, let's you know, at some point we are going to come together and corporate and pray as a body because that's what we are. You know, and I don't want to just come and do my religious duty. I want to come and I don't care if we just sit there and if someone is just hymning, you know, humming, and we're just going to soak in His presence. It doesn't have to look like anything. That's where we get, you know, I think we get intimidated because we feel like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. Well, why don't you just sit down in a chair there and let's just enjoy His presence and then see what happens. You know, Somebody brings a guitar, we either use it, we don't use it, doesn't matter. But what if God gives us a song right there? What if God just gives us a song right when we're ministering to Him, loving on Him, and, you know? Prayer is two ways, so it doesn't mean we do all the talking. But there are experiences with Him that we're only going to enter into if we're willing to do something we've never done. Amen. Okay, next question. In fact, you guys can just hold on to this and just pass it to the next person, because I'll be doing aerobics.
Okay, along the lines of prayer, you said what drove their prayer life and identity together as a group was that they experienced out there. It was always in the context of the local church. It wasn't alone by themselves in the house. And what fueled their prayer life was what they experienced from Him out there living life. So does that mean that we're supposed to come together, praise, worship the Lord, and then spend a lot of time praying here, now? Or how does prayer fit in?
Well, I think that's really the question at hand is, you know, my statement when I said that was the fact that you'll notice that what knit them together in their times of prayer was because they were experiencing the same thing out in the streets. Their whole existence circled around the power and authority of the name of the Lord of Jesus. They didn't have all these volumes that Paul wrote and all these things. They didn't have any of that. It hadn't been written yet. And, you know, I think this is really the question at hand is, you know, they were together every single day. I'm not saying we're supposed to be, because it's a totally different culture, totally different time. But it does beg the question to be answered. As a culture, how much time do we spend together? It's not that we have to turn our Sunday services into prayer times. They met every single day of the week. We don't. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but they met. So we have to make a decision in our pursuit of Him, in our pursuit of His presence and the reality of Him, and not just a theology. You know, I heard somebody say it like this. It's always going to be the question of, you know, we're either going to be theoreticians or we're going to be practitioners. Which one do you want to be? So we're the ones as a body have to make that decision. How much do we want to get together? When do we want to have our times of prayer? What do we want to experience during our times of prayer? You know, and is it worth, you know, carving out the time to do that? That's a decision that we have to make on our own. You know, I'm not to say that, you know, there won't be times in a service where we just say, you know what, I was going to preach, but we're not going to preach. Let's just spend the rest of the time ministering to Him. And, you know, and praying and worshiping and doing that kind of thing. Those times can come. But it's not to say that, you know, I guess I'll say it like this. If we're gonna make a decision that Sunday mornings is a time we're gonna come together and pray, then what we're essentially telling each other is, I don't want to be with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, because this is the only time that's convenient. And I don't think that's what we're saying. So, you know, I don't even know if I'm answering your question. I mean, am I coming close, or am I in the neighborhood? Be honest. I mean, if I'm not, just say, you completely missed the boat. And maybe rephrase your question a little bit so I get it better.
That's fine.
Did it? Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions? Come on, I know you got questions.
With this new man, this living life that I have inside of me that's alive, what am I supposed to do with it? And how am I supposed to live it out? And what does it look like out there?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Here's the thing. You notice in the book of Acts, the first four chapters, we've already agreed upon the fact that, you know, when the local church started, they had no clue that it was started. They were looking for a certain theological time in Jewish. They were looking for that to take place, and Jesus said, "No, you need to understand that all the time, the epochs, the times, they're all in Father's control. He knows when He's going to do what." He said, "Now the next season for you is to go into Jerusalem and wait and be filled with the Spirit." But everything from that point on, guys, it was just on the job training. It was simply them putting pressure on what they had learned. And moment by moment in life, living life, wherever they went, in the marketplace, wherever it was, they just put pressure on what they learned, and the presence of God came, showed up because they put pressure on what they learned, what they knew. And I think that's kind of the challenge with the Western mentality, is we've been trained by a system, a religious system, that said, you just come sit in a seat and open your mouth like a bird, and, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But that produces, how would I say this? That it produces a product that is spiritually maldeveloped. That's not even a word, but underdeveloped. I'll just say it that way. Because we're never... Because the gospel is not for in here. The gospel is that you put pressure on it out there. You know, the new man, you know, you can hear all day long that you're alive in Him and all that. But all these in Him realities, it's just nothing but theory. Until you put pressure on it out there. You know, that's why Paul said, my desire for you as a believer is that you all unveil the mind of Father. We call it prophesy. He said, my desire is for everyone to do that. Why? Because that's that place of experience where you're actually walking in and putting pressure on what you know. I love teaching. I love all the, you know, I've got bookshelves full of books and CDs and tapes, and, you know, I love all that stuff. But that stuff is worthless if all we do is just read it. Listen to it. Because it doesn't, you don't become that just because you read it. We're just living somebody else's theology. Holy Spirit's not interested in you living somebody else's theology. Holy Spirit is, He wants to take you and, you know, you take in a book or you take in a teaching of someone who's learned and developed in these areas, and then you get it in you, you make it become you, and then you go put pressure on it, and then it becomes you. You move from being a theoretician to a practitioner. So that's what you do with the new man. The new man is just nothing but theory for a lot of folks, because, you know, as a church, our assignment, the Lord told us when we started Best Life Church, I want you to raise up whole people. I said, okay, well, what does that mean? Because I've heard people say I'm whole, I'm healed, and they ain't whole or nothing. Because His definition of whole is you learn how to live out of your spirit, and living out of your spirit doesn't mean you act stupid. It doesn't mean that you're unstable. It doesn't mean you float from this place to this place to this place to this place to this place, because the Spirit of God told me Holy Spirit's not unstable. So it's important for us to know, as a new man, what does that look like? How do I, you know, I see it working in Peter. I can read it on the page. I can see it working in this particular author or that particular author, because he tells stories in his books or his teachings or whatever. I see how that looks in him. But what does that look like in me? Because Jesus didn't just die for the author. He didn't just make the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Spirit of God, the impressions, the way the Spirit of God leads a human being. He didn't just make that available to the gifted. He made it available for every human being that's breathing on the planet, and you're one of those. So as the new man, our job is to put pressure on what we know. Our problem, guys, is in the Western world, we got suckered into thinking that if I just read enough books, if I just listen to enough teachings, if I just listen to enough DVDs, if I just watch it, whatever, if I just do it enough, I'll become it. It's not true. You don't become anything because you haven't put any pressure on it. Holy Spirit wants to teach you as you. He wants to, I said this a couple of days ago. I was talking to somebody. And you know the story of Gideon? Remember the story of Gideon? This is interesting. In the Hebrew, when it talks about Gideon and the Lord, it says that the Lord put Gideon on. Like, put him on. We talked to a young guy a couple of days ago. Oh, it was yesterday, actually. We've been talking to this guy. He worked at the hotel we were staying at. And just a young kid. And, he was vaguely familiar with the church that we were attending the conferences. But very, just kind of cynical. It's one of these, you ever met a teenager that, kind of felt like they knew. Well, that's okay for my mom or my dad, but you can kind of hear that there's a cynicism there. There's a, all those guys are a bunch of phonies or whatever. But the more I listened to him and the more I tried to get in my spirit and find out, Lord, what do you want to say to this guy? It was clear that he was turned off by what he saw because he thought he had to become what he saw. He thought he had to become like his dad. He thought he had to become like his mom. He thought he had to become, I don't know if he had siblings. I just got that he had a sister, so if he did, cool. If he didn't, I missed it. But he thought he had to become those people. So many times, especially with us guys, why is it that in the one message that is that the world that is absolutely the truth, the ones that are involved are the girls? And the dudes are off like, whatever. I'll let her go to church and she can do the church thing. But when you get into the religious stuff, it's all the men that are hell-bent. Something not right here. But I think the reason that is because as guys, we think we have to look a certain way, act a certain way, sound a certain way. And the reality is, every single person in this room, you don't have a clue the best you that you are until you let God put you on. Because you're not going to look like somebody else, and he's not asking you to look like somebody else. He's not asking you to sound like somebody else. He just wants to put you on. But the only way we're going to let him put us on, you can't put somebody else on and think you're them. I don't care how many books you read of so-and-so's or how many tapes you listen to or how many DVDs. It doesn't matter. And there's so many good ones out there. You can listen to every single one of them, but you've done nothing. Because you haven't let him put you on. Spouting what somebody else says is not maturity. That's just, you're just a parrot. And that's nothing. That's nothing. Zero. As the new man, he wants to put us on out there. And everybody will learn at their own pace. But they'll learn. And then you'll get to the place where you'll be standing in front of somebody, just checking out at wherever you're checking out from, and the Spirit of God will give you an impression, or he'll say, he'll show you something about the person, and you'll speak something to them, and it'll alter the course of their life. You won't get that out of somebody's book. You'll get that from putting them on out there. I heard somebody say this. We get so used to, we think that when God speaks, when God speaks, judgment. But the fact is, the reality of it is, and we know this to be true in the natural, anything left to itself deteriorates, right? Isn't it amazing? You can go buy a car, stick it in the garage, never drive it, and 50 years later, something's deteriorated on that car. It wasn't even touched. So that's a principle that's true. It's also a principle in the spirit realm. Anything left to itself deteriorates. So you have all these people that are walking around living life, and they're living life, and whether they realize it or not, everything's deteriorating. So you come along, and you've allowed God to put you on, consistently over and over and over and over and over again until one day you go someplace, just normal day, like any other day you've ever had, and you're standing in front of that person, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God, because you've let Him put you on in other times, then He gives you something for that person. It comes out of your mouth, and as soon as His words come out of your mouth, that deterioration process stopped. And it brought it right back to brand new, where it's supposed to be. And it sets their course, sets their life. We don't realize, I mean, as new men and new women, folks, that's the awesome thing we get to be a part of with Him. So that's a long answer, but is it anybody else? Nathan Scott.
My question was to see if we would have an opportunity to practice some of this teaching here, either during worship or afterward, like some sort of ministry time. And then it's a two-parter. And what I've found from personal experience is a lot of times people are afraid of stepping out on this type of teaching because they don't see results right away, or, you know, somebody's kind of fruity and makes a mess of things. So the first question is, you know, are we going to have an opportunity to do that here, because it's kind of like a safer place sometimes than the grocery store? And number two, you know, how as a body are we going to clean up the inevitable messes that we may make?
That's a good question. As far as practice goes, sorry, I got hair in my mouth. I want to do some practicing today. As far as the message go, look, here's the thing. I've heard this said, and it's so good when it comes to, you know, developing in prophetic things. The prophetic shouldn't scare us. In fact, I wish it was just another word to use. Because all we're doing is learning how to unveil His mind. You know, that's a lot of words for one word, but that's all we're doing. You know, it's none of this. A lot of folks have this goofy idea that, you know, prophecy is telling in time things. And, you know, there's a certain element, there's a certain facet of that is prophecy. But the basic, most basic foundational level of learning how to develop, but really just speaking out of your spirit, or, you know, what God gives you in your spirit and your soul. Because your soul is like a movie screen. You know, we'll do this at the end here, just for fun, just for practice. But we had a session that, you know, which it was just like the last 15 minutes of a session. And they said, okay, now pair up with somebody and just start your, what you're going to do is you're just going to give the other person what God gives you right then. And you can almost hear the hands on the seat rests. And he said, it's just really easy. Just do this. You start your conversation. Just say, you know, what I see God giving me about you is, and then just tell them the first thing that comes to your thought process. It was pretty cool, because what we don't realize about operating from His mind is He doesn't necessarily give you everything right, you know, at the very start. You know, myself, and I know some others, you know, they were already getting stuff before the guy at the front shut up, so that we actually started the exercise. But it doesn't always happen that way. But that's when we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to go and step out in the moment? How many were here when Robbie Dawkins was here? You remember he made this statement. He said, there are times when I'll go up to somebody, and if you've read his book, Doing What Jesus Did, there's a story in there where some guy, his buddy, put him on the spot, brought him over to a table, and introduced him to this guy he'd never met, and said, he's going to tell you something from God. oh, okay. And he just opened his mouth. He said, well, what I see, and he didn't have anything, but as soon as he said that, because he was willing to go there, the Spirit of God came and followed him and started giving him things. And we have to make this decision, guys. Are we willing to screw up to learn? Because what if in our practice times, what if at the end of service times, what if at the end of praise and worship times, we just simply went, you know, and instead of going and shaking somebody's head and glad hand, that I'm not saying that's bad, but you know, it's so Christianese. What if we made it a point that whoever we came in contact with, we wanted to give them a word from the Lord? And when I say a word from the Lord, I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm saying, what if you went in and you started paying attention to the impressions you were getting, the things that the Lord, the ways that you can encourage them? Because remember, the basic part of the prophetic is to build up, encourage, and lift up. That's the most basic foundational kindergarten prophetic is that. That's why when you hear folks that are rattling off at the mouth and everything that's coming out of their mouth in the name of being a prophet is all negative and naysaying, you just need to tune them out. Because it's not him. Because the very foundational part, the very kindergarten prophetic is, it builds up and courage and lifts you up. So what if in our times of, after our praise and worship, you know, when Pastor Shelby comes up and says, everybody go, you know, go shake hands. What if instead of just going through the routine, you actually made it a point that you wanted to develop in this and you began to just try to, you know, Lord, give me something encouraging. Whoever I go to shake, give me something out of here that I can encourage and build them up. You know, this exercise that we went through in this conference, I mean, the gentleman that I was in front of, I never met this guy before in my entire life. But as soon as we started, I mean, even before we started, God was giving me a picture and showing me a picture of him in his house on his face. He's just a young guy. He's got tattoos from here down. But he showed me a picture of him on his face down in his, wherever he was living, and just worshiping Jesus. Not caring what he looks like, not caring anything about anything. He just wanted to worship Jesus. And the Spirit of God just kind of built on that. I mean, I brought that. I said, when I look at you, this is what I see. I see somebody who's passionate. I see somebody who, you know, you spend time on your face at your house. I said, and what you're going to find out is because you've put the time in and you spend time on your face, he's going to take you and place you before people that your mind is going to say, what in the world am I doing here? I'm not even qualified to say anything. But the same person that introduced himself to you on your face here will be the same person that shows up when you stand before people that you don't think you're qualified to speak in front of. And he's going to give you things and he's going to qualify you in that moment to speak what's from him. I didn't know anything about this. And I asked him, I said, is any of this making sense? He said, yeah, every single bit of it. I didn't have any of that before I started, really. But folks, we just got to be willing to take risks. That's all it is. We got to be willing to say, you know what? I'm really kind of done with traditional, the way Christianity is being done. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm not trying to curse the darkness, because I'm certainly not that way. And we're never going to curse the local church, because that's Daddy's heart. But how many know that we have to be willing to step out and make mistakes? And as far as cleaning up the mess goes, you know, Paul said, number one, you want to believe the best of every person. So if we're going to be willing to make mistakes, then you're going to have to be willing to be the recipient of a mistake too. I had a gal, this is years ago, when I first moved to Phoenix. I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 7 years. Left Colorado when I was 18 years old. And it wasn't a good situation. But so I'm in this church in this city. We just moved here. We've been here maybe not even a year. And this young girl comes up to me during one of those times of meet and greets. And she said, I really believe the Lord's saying to you that he's got a... I don't even remember the words she said, but it was something about, basically, I'm supposed to go to Colorado, and that's where I'm supposed to be. Okay, well, that didn't bear witness with me. So I'm not going to uproot my family and say, well, God told us that we're supposed to go to Colorado, so we're going. Bye. We just got here. But the fact is, you know, I didn't sit there and say, you know what? You're completely off. That's completely wrong. I just thanked her for it and said, I appreciate you stepping out. Because that's the reality. She's just learning. She's just trying to practice. So are we going to be willing to create an environment to let people make mistakes? It really is okay. What she didn't realize, and she interpreted that I was supposed to go there, but what she didn't realize is that's where I came from. She didn't know that. She just got Colorado. That's all she got, Colorado, Colorado. So she interpreted like I was supposed to go there. That's where my ministry was, when in reality, it was what I came from. It was just a small little misinterpretation. But you know what was cool about it is I guarantee you she never stopped doing that. Because as many times as she got it wrong, so what? Thank you so much for stepping out. You know, bless you. And I guarantee you she got to the place where she's gotten better and better and better and better. So we have to make the decision as far as cleaning up messes. You know, let's put it like this. When you have a little baby and that little baby messes himself, what's your response? Do you just get all mad, cuss, spike the baby on the floor? How can you be so stupid? Look what you've done. And now I got to wash these clothes again. No, you don't do that. You just kind of go, oh, isn't that cute? You clean them up. So why can't let's just be that way? That's how you clean up a mess. You know, everybody, let's be willing to, let's start learning how to develop and giving things out of our spirit to people. You know, this is the safest place there is. And if you're on the recipient of something and somebody says, well, I just want to, what I see is, and they give you whatever they see, and it's not exactly right. You know, tell them, you know, if you want to tell them the part that's right, to encourage them, that's awesome. It helps them. But let them give them the room to miss it. You know, we'll just clean up the baby and put new clothes on him and put a new diaper on him and pat him on the butt and say, go for it. Go have some more fun. Right? Does that answer your question? Yeah. Anybody else? Just... I guess we should have had two mics. I didn't think about that.
How do you determine where, like, what is your actual place to fit into church and just whether you're feeling a need? Because we all come with gifts and talents, and we've all had those gifts and talents in us before we were saved. It's part of what he put in us when he created us. But we always get, when you come to a church, well, you're good at this, so this is where you're supposed to be. How do we determine that?
Well, the number one way is, what do you love doing? Do that. I hate to oversimplify, but that's pretty much, you know, what do you love doing? Do that. It could develop into some other things. And quite frankly, there could be some areas that you've never touched in your entire life. And then somewhere down the road, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give it a shot. And then just be willing to, okay, well, if I feel like I'm supposed to, you know, sign up for this or try this or, you know, get involved with this, even though I don't really have a clue what I'm doing, I'm willing to give it a shot because I know you're going to watch my back and you're going to help me grow in it. There's always going to be those times like that. But initially, I would say, what are the desires of your heart? What do you love doing? Do that. Here's my real spiritual example of how I got involved in a local church. I didn't get involved with the prayer ministry. I didn't get involved with anything that we would call spiritual. I just went to work at the bookstore. That's what I did. So why'd you do that? Well, because I love studying, and I wanted the book. Well, I didn't know I got a discount on the books when I signed up, but that was a little bit of a perk. But man, I left Tulsa loaded. But I love studying, and I love teaching and learning. So I just got involved with the bookstore. So, number one, what's in your heart? What do you love doing? Start there. If it doesn't exist, start it. Everybody's kind of looking for the pastor. Well, can I do this? And pastor, why don't you start it? If you're good at it and it's in your heart and you love doing it, then if it doesn't exist, it's probably because you haven't stepped up. Because it may not come out of my mouth. It may not come out of Pastor Shelby's mouth, but it's because we're not supposed to do it. So, does that answer your question? Anybody else? Microphone.
I want to know if being in awe of God gets rid of selfishness and opinions and all the negative stuff.
Well, I certainly think that the more you cultivate that attitude in your life, it does, because life stops being about you. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's plenty of times when I am in the midst of, not anybody here, but we all find ourselves in these situations where we feel like I need to give my 2 cents worth. Well, at least I do. You kind of come to the place when, you love Him so much and you're in awe of Him that you just don't find it necessary. It's just not necessary. Because I'll just say this, and I don't mean this bad, guys, but, I think in some respects, I think we kind of need to grow up in this, in that, we all love to study and read and things like that. But we have to come to the place where you realize there's more of God than one guy's got a hold of or one girl's got a hold of. When I was in Bible school, all of us, newbies, I mean, we all worked at the same place. But, at least the ones that I worked with, and we'd all sit around and, they start spouting all the things they learned in Bible school. It's not a problem. But, when you're 10, 15, 20, 30 years out of Bible school and you're still saying, well, sister so-and-so says or brother so-and-so says, that's kind of a problem. Because then we're making an assumption that sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so have a lock on everything that is God, and that's just not accurate. There might be things that He wants to show you that you didn't get from anybody else. But if we're just going to be content to live off of somebody else's revelation, we're not really growing. And that's when you kind of see most of the opinions start flying. It's because we're not coming from a place of, this is what I experienced with me and Him alone. Or me and Him out there living life, and this is what, because that's where you develop the being in awe of Him. Is you're willing to be nothing out there and let Him put yourself in situations where it's kind of awkward, but He gets the chance to shine. that's really where we develop that attitude of being in awe of Him, is letting Him put us on out there. Most of the time when you have, when we find that we're opinionated about things, it's because we're really not walking any place. We've been sitting way too long. And we're just taking in everybody else's stuff and regurgitating that. You can't live on that stuff. That's not Holy Spirit's will for you. Because you still don't know Him. I heard somebody say it like this, that you can get somebody healed using all the principles, but it still doesn't produce or reproduce a people that know Him. We have to get to the place where we're not running off of principles. Because principles puff up. I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody, you know, and I'm talking to them about this particular subject or whatever, and then they want to bring corrections because that's not what they read. As if what they read is all there is. I'd rather learn things with Him than about Him. Right? And so I think if we're gonna cultivate an attitude of being in awe of Him, then we need to understand that that's going to take some changes of our lifestyle and put ourselves in places to where He can teach us on the job and not just, I don't want to learn about God. I want to learn from Him directly. I want to learn being involved with Him. I'll say it that way. And that will keep that being in awe of Him attitude, because he's always going to uncover more about Himself, more about Himself, more about Himself. And so as long as He's kept the biggest thing in the room, who cares about our opinions? You know, it's one thing if the Spirit of God impresses you to say something, but it's something else if the only reason that something is said is because what was originally said didn't line up with what you know, so you want to put out what you know. We kind of need to guard against that. Because then we're assuming that what you know is all there is to know. And that's not true either, right? Does that answer your question? Okay. Way back in the back. I see that hand. Is this helping? Is this helping? Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to elaborate on what you were just talking about, because right now I'm in like an area at work where a lot of people say things and they don't line up with what I think. So should I just shut my mouth and not say anything? Because I know that in my life, when I hear something from the Lord, it kind of is different than what my opinion is in my head. So, like, I'm trying to give an example. Like, at work right now, we have, it's like a gay film festival going on. And
so everyone's happy?
It's very happy.
Very happy.
It's very happy. But, like, I have a gay coworker, and he talks about, like, bad things about God. Just because he's been hurt by the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when to say something and when to just be quiet. Because I feel like when I'm impressed to say something, it's not for correction. It's I'm trying to learn between correction and
yeah.
building someone up.
Okay, well, let's forget about the correction aspect of it.
Yeah.
And let's think about it from this vantage point. If heaven were to speak to him, what would heaven say? How does heaven see him or her? What's their vantage point? I promise you it's not what ours is. Because we focus on, being natural human beings, we focus on what's wrong. But Jesus doesn't focus on that because Jesus only sees that person through his blood. We heard this story at the conference where this young kid was wearing sunglasses, sitting in the back of a room with his arm folded, and the speaker basically called him forward, and I forget the whole context of what's going on. But anyway, the Lord started speaking to him, and the young kid had given him his sunglasses when he walked up there, and the speaker put his sunglasses on, and to his surprise, when he put them on, he saw everybody in a red tent. Must not have been obvious from the outside. And the Spirit of the Lord said, because he was looking right at the kid through these red sunglasses, and the Spirit of the Lord said, this is how I see everybody. So maybe your coworkers, maybe instead of trying to find ways to correct them, because that's not really necessary, maybe you need to just encourage them and speak into their life. Remember, words from the Lord, they bring things that are chaos in order. So maybe you just need to look for ways to build up, encourage, lift them up, and speak what heaven says about them to them so they realize that God's not against them, God's for them, and he thinks they're the most amazing thing walking on the planet. Maybe the only reason why they hate church is because nobody in the church has ever told them how God really thinks about them. So you might find that, your job is to bring heaven into that workplace. Your job is to bring heaven's vantage point into that workplace for those people. I've got people following me on Facebook. I think they're awesome. But I know very good and well they don't agree with nothing I say. I don't care. Because I'm just going to, every time I'm with them, I'm just going to bring heaven because that's who they are. The rest of it's up to the Lord. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
No, I'm not necessarily saying don't say anything. I'm encouraging you to say something. But I'm encouraging you to and I'm not saying this against you, but I was raised in church my whole life too, and that the model that's been propagated is that we're supposed to curse the darkness and set things right, and the problem with that is that's not God. Here's an example that was brought to my remembrance yesterday. You remember the story of Nathaniel? Remember Nathaniel was approached by, I don't know, was it Peter? I think it was Peter. If it's not, then pray for your pastor. Anyway, he said, "Hey, we found the Messiah," and he's from Nazareth. And Nathaniel's response was pretty denigrating. And nothing good comes from Nazareth. Then he gets in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said some things, and he called him, here's a true man of Israel. He said, I saw you before when you were sitting under the fig tree. Well, how many know that your next response will be, oh crap, you heard what I said too. But do you see anywhere in there that Jesus brought that up? Didn't even bring it up. He just simply told Nathanael what heaven said about Nathanael. So all your coworkers, I would encourage you to open your mouth often and frequently, but every time you open your mouth, it's to bless them, lift them up, encourage them, and speak into their life without even trying to sound religious. Yeah, it'll change. Does that answer your question? Okay, let's stand up. If you had other questions, sorry. I had some folks who were going to email me some questions, but I didn't see any emails, so I guess I'll have to get them for another time. Here's what we're going to do. Other than somebody that you're married to, preferably, women with women, women with men, find somebody and let's just ask the Lord to show you something about them that you can encourage and build them up with, and just start it off and just say, what I see when I see you, this is what I see. And just whatever he gives you, whatever the first thing he gives you, just give him that. And take like maybe a minute and a half each time. One person does it and the other person does it too. Sound good? Okay, ready, go. And then when you're done, ask him if that made sense. And, you know, guys, be honest with each other. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just love you and praise you, and we just thank you for bringing us into unfamiliar territory. And we just want to be with you. We want to spend time with you. We want to go wherever you're going, and we just love you and praise you. Thank you for creating a culture where you're welcome, where you're celebrated and exalted. And thank you for creating a culture that just loves to Hallelujah. Just loves to be with you. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to go ahead and share that. Everybody just wrap it up and look up here real quick. The Spirit of God has given an image to you, for you. Is everybody listening? The Spirit of the Lord, and I'll get it wrong, but I'll just latch on to the part that I think He wants everybody to know. How many have ever seen a group of wild horses? Even if it's on television. That's where I've seen them. I've probably seen them in live too. But anyway, if you notice with them, a lot of times they're all standing around until one of the horses starts running. And then what happens? They all take off and run. And they just run. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke something to me this morning. Thank you, Nate, for sharing it. That you guys are like a bunch of wild horses with your manes blowing in the wind. That initially, you know, where we're going is a little bit unfamiliar. We don't really know. But the fact of the matter is you're willing to take off and run. The world needs that. Because the world is a bunch of tamed horses in a stall that the only thing they have a three by ten, and that's their world. But that's not you. So anytime you see a picture of a wild horse running, you need to say, that's me. That's me. And let's let God turn us into that. Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you, Lord, that you've put a desire on the inside of them. They just love you. And I thank you for taking that and leveraging that and turning us into a people that you can show off through. Because we're willing to live life with you and let you put us on, you're going to show this city what they really are and who they really are. And they're going to see themselves, and they're going to see the glory of God, and they're going to see how they fit into that, and they're going to embrace it, and they're going to exalt you above everything else. And they're going to come and run with us. And we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.